for his Divrei Torah and agreeing to give us in part some of his Torah to us on a good number of different Thursday nights. I'm not counting, but I could probably ask him. Maybe he'll have it written down. So without further ado, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Good evening, everyone. With the time we have, we'll hopefully cover as much as we can on this topic. And if you look at the topic here, it says the proportionality of God's wrath to Korach's rebellion. And what I want to address is, as we see in the Chumash, that Hashem is kind of very angry at Korach, but it's not one act of retribution that we see in the story. There are actually three. Before I get to those three acts of retribution, which we will address very carefully, I like to deal with the machlokus between the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban as to when the Korach story took place, and in response to what do we have this story. And what I'd like to do is, based on an article of Rav Yair Kahn, I'd like to hopefully lend support to one position over the other. Take a look at the first source on that first page. I apologize, I like using Bar Ilan, but it was down. So I used Sfaria, which also works, but I'm a bigger fan of Bar Ilan. But anyway, if you take a look at the Ibn Ezra, he writes like this, Vayikach Korach, Zeh hadavar hayah b'midbar Sinai. This took place much earlier than you think. It's certainly not in chronological order. Kasher nischalchu habechorim v'nivdilu halevim. All the way back in Parshas Bamidbar, Parshas Nasa, we read about the fact that the Bechorim were now replaced with Leviim. Ki choshvu Yisrael shemosha adoneinu asamidato lo says gedulo le'echav. Because you know what the people thought at that time? Aha, I see what's happening. Why are Leviim taking over from the Bechorim? It's Moshe's family. There's nepotism. That's what's happening. So, Gam v'nei kahos, shem krovim elov. B'nei kahos, now, who gets to carry all of the kelim? Oh, b'nei kahos. Ah, that makes sense. Of course, Amram kahos, Moshe, makes perfect sense why he's doing this. Uluchol b'nei levi, shem imishbechosop. V'halevim kashru olov, bavur hayosam nisunim la'arun olvanov. So now the Leviim now begin to complain. So now they contend with Moshe, because after all, they are also part of the family of Aaron. Because Shardasan Vaviram, why are they upset? Shevet Reuven, because Bavur Shehisir Habuchora Me Reuven Aviyim, Vinitna Liyosef. This is all part of the same theme of the fact that the Bechora that was now transferred out to a different Shevet. Not only that, Korach himself was a Bechor. The fact that he's from Shevet Kahas and he's a Bechor, so this is reason for Korach now to register a complaint towards Moshe. And then we have Reuven happens to be, they happen to be encamped next to each other, so that's another reason why Shevet Reuven would get involved with this complaint. The bottom line, according to Ibn Ezra, is that Ein Mukdam Mulchar BaTorah. This story does not happen here. Last week we read about the Shmeraglim. That happened. There's no question. That happened in Bar Paran. But this happened, this story, excuse me, preceded the story of the Meraglim, because it took place in Midbar Sinai, which is where this replacement, the substitution, actually took place. That's the position of the Ibn Ezra. And the Ramban takes issue with it. Take a look at the second source. V'amar Rabbi Avram, which is the Ibn Ezra, Rabbi Avram ben Ezra, ki zeh ha-davar ha-yob im bar Sinai, kasher nischalfu ha-bechorim, as we said in the previous source, v'nivdul ha-levim, when Levim were now were separated out, ki chashu Yisrael sha-adoneinu Moshe ha-sozeh midat ha-loseh gedula, etc. So he says this was all done. So now, if you take a look, three lines down at the end of the line, just because of time, v'zeh midato shel Rabbi Avram, I'm on the fourth line down. This is the opinion of Rabbi Avram ibn Ezra. Shehu omer b'mekomos rabim ein muktam u'mulchar batorah. Like Rashi, quite often, he will say that there's no chronological order to the Torah. There are many instances where the Torah is out of order. And this is one of them, l'ritzono. Ukavar Kasafti, I've already said in the Ramban's position, generally speaking, is that no, the Torah is written in chronological order, and if it's not, the Torah will tell you so. Ki al dati kol haTorah kiseder zulasi b'makom hashifro shakosh v'akdam hava achor. Right? The Torah, unless it lets you know that this is what this preceded the other, so then we assume it's in order. V'gam sham tzorech inyan ulatam nachon. Yes, and there's a good reason why the Torah would place itself out of order. Avola haya hadavar hazeh b'midbar paran b'kadesh barnea. This story of Korach takes place after Merav. It's in order. You read Shlach last week, you read Korach this week, and there's a reason for that. Achar masa hamarag. So what's he upset about? So he can't be upset about something that took place, you know, four parshios ago. I'll tell you what. V'hanochon bidrash shekas Korach al nesios el tzafon k'mama raboseinu. So the Medrash says, El Tzafon was Ben Uziel, was appointed as a nasi, the head of a family of Kahas. V'kine gam ba'aron. And he was also upset about Aaron. The fact uvikashtem gam kuhuna. Look at the language that Korach uses. The fact that this happens to take place after the story of the Meraglim is only because, okay, they complained about one thing. So people are already frustrated. So then, okay, we'll complain about something else. So after all, everyone's dying out. So it's now time. This is a perfect time now to question Moshe's authority. And he certainly is going to have a following in his rebellion after the fact that the Jewish people have now been decreed that they're going to be wiped out in the Midbar. Perfect time. In fact, he says, the fact that you'll tell me Reuven is involved because of the Bechorah was given to whom? Was given to Yosef from Reuven? He says it can't be. He says, V'nimshechu, after it says Pasuk Yud, V'nimshechu dasan va'aviram ima v'lo ala b'chora. Not because of b'chora. Who was, right, when we think about it, right, who was responsible for the transfer of b'chora from Shevet Reuven to Yosef? This is Moshe's problem. Right? That Moshe's at fault. Ki Yaakov aviyam hu asher nitzla m'Reuven l'nasol Yosef. This happened a long time ago. This is not for Korach to come and complain, or dasan and aviram at this point. Avol gam heim amru tanasam lahamisenu bamidbar. Said you come to kill us in the midbar. V'lo el eretz avas chalavadrash haviyosanu. In other words, what the Rabban says is that if you look carefully at the psukim, the language of the psukim seems. You read through the text, it seems to point to the fact that the story of the Meraglim took place already. You've taken us into the midbar to wipe it. We're all going to die in the midbar because that was the decree last week. And obviously, you're not bringing us to an eretz avas chalavadrash. Because we sent spies and they told us that, right? It's not really. Maybe Eretz Avas Chalav Udvash, but what else is there in the country? And there's even a reference to the fact that Eretz Avas Chalav Udvash actually refers to Mitzrayim and not Eretz Yisrael. So it seems clear, according to the Ramban, that the story follows in chronological order the story of the Meraglim. According to the Ibn Ezra, it does not. It's in response to the fact that the Levim now take the place of the Bechorim, and this is why Korach registers his complaint. What I'd like to do is draw support for the Ibn Ezra. That's what I'd like to do. By raising a simple question. If you read through the Psukim, and I'd like to show the three acts of retribution towards the Jewish people, there's going to be a major question that needs to be raised. So if you turn the page, you'll see here, the number is in the middle. I thank Sfaria for this. The number is in the middle of the Psukim. This is Perek 16. This is Perek Tezayin. And we're going to have parts of Perek Tezayin, parts of Perek Yudzayin, and the beginning of Perek Yudchet, all in our parsha. So the story, just to review briefly, is that Korach registers a complaint towards Moshe, the authority of Moshe. Kikhoi kolayla kulam kidoshu v'socham Hashem, umadu etistasu al kal Hashem. And this is his complaint. Okay. And they gather to Moshe and Aaron after, and that's what you read in that first source. Fine. So Moshe says, after all, you were appointed, look at Pasuk 9. Hamabdikem, is it not? It's not enough that you were appointed. You're part of Shevet Levi. You're part of Kahas. You get to carry the Aron. You get to carry the Shulchan. You get to carry the Menorah. So that's not enough for you. You get to serve in the Mikdash to some extent. Right? And then Pasuk 10, Vayakrebos Chavez Kalachacha B'nei Yitocho V'kashtem Gamkano. Now you want to be a Kohen. I've already you've already been drawn close as part of Shevet Levi. And now you want to be Kohanim as well. Right? So Moshe calls Dustin Aviram, who we know have already joined in this rebellion as well. They refuse to come. And then, if you look at Pasuk 21 on the bottom of this page, so Moshe Hashem says like this, He badulu mitoch ha'edah hazos va'achale osam kiraga. I want you to separate yourself from these people and I'll wipe them out immediately. That's what he says. Turn the page. Okay? So Moshe and Aaron say, hold on one second. They vayiplal p'dehem, the next pasuk. One person sins va'al kol ha'edah tiktof. And you're going to get angry. You're going to, your wrath is going to come upon everybody. It can't be. Okay, so Hashem says, okay, fine. Pasuk 24. Daber ha'idol le'mor he'alu misavil mishkan koch dosan va'aviram. And now, what happens? So Moshe, now Hashem says like this, dosan and aviram come out. And out from Mishkan Korach. And Hashem says, okay, I'm not going to wipe everybody out. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Pasuk 28 on the bottom. Bezos teidun ki Hashem shalachani. You'll know that Hashem sent me. Vasos es kol mesem el kilomi libi. This is not me, says Moshe. I'm not the authority. It's not because I chose. It's not because I want to shave it Levi instead of the Bechorim. Not true. And I'll prove it to you. How am I going to prove it to you? Pasuk 29. If all of these people die as mankind normally dies, okay, so then maybe I'm at fault. Maybe it's all me. But if the earth will open up and everyone will be swallowed up into the earth, if that happens, then you know that it's all from God. Now, if that would happen, which it does, so who doesn't believe that Moshe has been appointed by God? So everybody has to. Were they oblivious to the fact that this is obviously, right? This is ordained by God, that Moshe was appointed. I mean, out of all things that would happen, right? Something was created, the Piharetz created on Erev Shabbos, very appropriate, right? Erev Shabbos Ben Ashmashos, it's created. Everybody knows. Of course we believe. And that's what happens. So the first act of retribution that we read of is the fact that the earth opens up, Korach, and Dasan and Aviram fall in, and maybe others are their families. We have a drash note that the sons didn't die, but the houses maybe fell in, and the earth opens up. That's the first thing that happens. And we think, okay, now it's over. So it's far from over. It lingers on, and the people continue to complain. Okay, so Pasuk 32, Vatiblalam, the entire earth opens up, and it absorbs them. Then, Pasuk 34, V'chol Yisrael asher sivosem nasulu kolam, they all run away. We're going to be swallowed up by the earth as well. And now, the part I left out, I didn't quote, is that there was a test. People were going to come to Ohel Moed and bring Ketores. If we'll see who indeed is chosen as the Kohen, so his Ketores will be accepted. What happened to these 250 people who brought the Ketores, who are part of this rebellion? So this is act of retribution number two. Pasuk 35. Those who thought they could bring Ketores, so now they're all consumed by the fire. That's act number two. So if you didn't believe in Moshe's authority after act of retribution number one, so you got to believe after number two. And then it's still not over. So, the people, what are they supposed to do with us? So the next psukim just tell us, the beginning of Perek Yud Zayin, Moshe is supposed to use the fire pans in order to cover the Mizbeach. That's one of the things he's going to use them for. Okay, fine. And we're told that an Ish Zar should not come to bring Ketores. That you, clearly, these people, that's why they were consumed by the fire. Pasuk 6 on the bottom of this next page. It says, Vayulonu, they all complain, Mimacharas, you've killed everybody out. Now, what are you doing? What are you complaining about? All of these people deserve to die, presumably. And now you come with another complaint. Are you oblivious to the fact that the people were wiped out because of the complaints, because they questioned Moshe's authority? What are you doing? Right? And then a play comes. Look at Pasuk 10 in the next page. Hashem says to Moshe, right? Literally, lift yourselves up, remove yourselves from this group. And I'll wipe them out immediately. Once again, right? So what happens? The people begin to die. Act of retribution number 3. Who are these people? These are people who saw Korach and family or friends are swallowed up by the ground. They see 250 people who decide to bring the Torah are all consumed by fire. And now they seem to continue complaining, and many of them, what's the number, 14,700, whatever, are wiped out by a plague. Right? Vayomer, look at Pasuk 11. Vayomer Moshe Aaron, kachas amachta, v'sen ala esh, me'el ha-mizbeach, v'sim ketores, v'holech mehera el ha'eda v'chaper aleihem, ki yatsa ha-ketzef m'fri Hashem elchel ha-negev. Right? Anger, wrath has come, and the plague has begun. And Aaron runs, and he tries to save with the bringing of this ketores as many people as he can. And he stands in Pasuk 13. How many die? Our basar elef, the next page. Now, if you think about it, think of just sheer numbers. You have Korach and family, or whoever they are. I don't know, it's a handful of people. Okay, maybe their possessions too. Then you have 250 people. And now, after everybody should have been convinced, the time where you would expect the least number of people to continue to register, only the crazy people at this point would come and continue to complain and question Moshe's authority. Here you have a plague that hits 14,700 people, and it would have wiped out more had Aaron not brought this Torah. That's what you see in this story. It's mind-boggling. So what's happening? So that's really the question. The question is, the story itself of Korach and Korach destroyed and swallowed up by the earth almost seems to be an introduction to a different story. Or we could say that story is discussed with brevity, and the epilogue of the story is really what takes over, and the Torah spends most of its time on the epilogue, on people continuing to complain and registering complaints towards Moshe and Aaron, and more people dying each and every. I have a handful of people, I have 250 people, I have 40,700 people. And that's after people should have been convinced of the fact that Moshe is not kilomi libi, it's not about him, it's about God. So that's really the question, why that should be. And that's what I want to spend our time on. So Rav Yair Kahn claims that what we have here in this story is not a group of skeptics. It's impossible to believe that after Korach dies, it's impossible to believe that not only after Korach dies, but after the 250 people are killed by the fire, it's impossible to believe that they didn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch. So what is it? So he says as follows. He says that when you look at the numbers of people, and we've had no question throughout Jewish history, we ask this question as well. Even when we're pretty convinced, and Mamre Chazal teach us, that the Jewish people have been punished, and many have been slaughtered because of transgression, we typically ask the question from an emotional standpoint, from an emotional perspective, did it have to be so many? Could we not have learned the lesson with fewer? that look at all of the orphans and the widows because of what happened. Could we not have gotten the message some other way? Did it have to be to the enormity of the destruction, of the devastation of our people, did it have to be that way? And that was when these people speak in the psukim. So take, for example, this pasuk over here. Pasuk 28 in Perek 17. Okay? Ko hakarev, hakarev el mishkan Hashem yomus ha'imtamnu legvoa. That phrase. Right? Have we stopped dying? Or, hein gavadnu avadnu kulanu avad. We're all dying, we're all dead, we continue to die. So what is that? So what are the people saying? After Korach is now swallowed up by the earth, after we have 250 people who are consumed by fire because they bring the Ketores, because they're testing the authority of Aaron HaKohen. So you're going to tell me that these people don't believe? Of course they believe. But their reaction is because of the grief, is because of the sorrow, is because of the pain. And that's why they come to Moshe. You don't have here, we would say, you have a group of people who are questioning Moshe's authority at this point. We know that Moshe is in charge, and Hashem appointed Moshe. It makes perfect sense. Fine. And they were convinced. But how do we explain then Hashem's response? Why does a plague come? Is that really the way Hashem works? That a plague comes because the people are supporting Korach, let's say. The people are curious what Korach is saying. I'm not necessarily... I identify with Korach's concerns, but I don't say anything. Or later on, there's an emotional outburst. How could it be that so many people could die? How could you take Korach and open the earth and kill him? Okay, we did other things. So Hashem now, it's incomprehensible that now a magefa is going to come, and the people who weren't really part of the rebellion at all, who are merely now acting out of grief, out of sorrow, out of pain, to say, if this is true, to say that 14,700 people have died, not because they rebelled, not because they brought Ketores when they should not have, but because they were upset. So it's a very big chiddush to say that. For Rav Kahn to make such a suggestion, that's indeed why these people are complaining. That it's not about Korach. It's not a philosophical argument. It's not skepticism. It's because we're upset. It's because we're in pain. Is that the way Hashem responds with a plague? So he suggests no. It's not because Hashem responds in that way, but rather for a different reason. And the answers really lie in several psukim if we read them very carefully. So take, for example, I know I don't have, the pages aren't numbered. That was part of the issue. So take a look at the following pasuk. Let's turn to the last page. So the last source there, which I have in, which is bigger than the rest, is a pasuk from the end of Parshas Bamidbar, and this is what it says: "V'halevi'im yachanu saviv l'mishkan ha'idus." The Levi'im will encamp around the Mishkan. That we know. That's the Machane Levi around Machane Shechina. V'lo yihyeh ketzef al adas b'nei Yisrael, so that God's wrath does not come, not strike the Jewish people. V'shamru ha-Leviim es mishmeres mishkan ha'idus. And the Leviim, Sheva Levi, will guard the Mishkan, the area where the Shechina resides. So let's point a couple of things. Number one, there's a special machane for the Leviim. We know there's a machane Yisrael, a machane Leviyah, and a machane Shechina. Where do they encamp? Right around the Mishkan. That's where the Leviyim are. Where are Bnei Yisrael? So we've already accepted all the way back in Sefer in Parshas Bamidbar that the Yisraelim are going to be encamped a little bit further away from the Mishkan. Now, why are the rest of Bnei Yisrael at a further distance from the Mishkan? Very simply, because as we know, the Kohanim and the Leviim are able to enter, you know, into the precincts of the sanctuary, and the rest of Bnei Yisrael are not. And what happens if we do come close? So it says here, "V'lo yihi ha'ketzef al adas Bnei Yisrael," so that Hashem doesn't have to strike the Jewish people with His wrath. Which means that when the Jewish people come close, it seems to elicit anger, it elicits God's wrath. When you act a certain way for a regular person to come close to the sanctuary when he's not supposed to, so that gets Hashem very upset. Okay, and therefore, the end of the pasuk says, Vishomru Halevi'im es mishmeres mishkan ha'idus. And the Levi'im will guard, in order to maintain, stand guard around there in the sanctuary, in order to prevent the people from coming too close. That's what it says at the end of Parshas Bamidbar. Okay. Interestingly, 18 prakim later, if you turn back just one page, you are now where it says 2 and 3, you're in the 18th parak. So I'm going to read the three psukim. I didn't give you the number one, but it says 2 and 3 on the bottom of that page. These are the psukim in Perek Yudchet after the Korach story. Vayomer Hashem el Aharon, Atah uvanecho veisavicha itach, tis'u es avon hamikdash. You shall bear any guilt connected to the mikdash. Va'atah uvanecho itach, tis'u es avon kunaschem. And if there's any guilt connected with kuhuna, that's your responsibility. Next, the Gama Sachachamate Levi. So the Levim also have a responsibility. Shevet Avicha Karev Itoch Vilavu Itoch Vishor Sucha. They shall serve. Ve'atovanecho Itoch Lefnei Itoch Lefnei Oel Oedus. Okay, they can also serve because that's where they live. That's the avoda of the Kohanim and Levim. Next, Pasuk 3. Vishamu Mishmar Techa. What are the Levim going to do? They're going to guard the Machane Shechina. Umishmeres Kol Orel, the entire Olam away. But Achel Klei HaKodesh LeMizbeach Lo Yikrovu LeMizugam HaMatem. You can't. But even the Levim themselves have to be careful not to come close to the Kelim of the Mikdash itself. Turn over to the last page. V'nilvu Alecha. Vishamu Umishmeres Olam away. Once again, they're going to guard Olam away. Bizar lo yikrav aleichem, a non-Kohen is not permitted to come close. Now look at this last pasuk. Ushmartem es mishmeres hakodesh ves mishmeres hamizbeach. Shevet Levi is responsible to guard, stand guard at the Kodesh, which is the Mikdash, and the Mizbeach. V'lo yihyeh od ketzef al b'nei Yisrael. So that there no longer be any ketzeth, any wrath, striking the people down because they came too close. Now this is a pasuk in Perek Yudchet, pasuk hey or so. And the pasuk on the bottom of this page is Bamidbar, Perek Aleph, pasuk Nun Gimel. 17, 18 prakim before. That's number one. Number two, take a look, if you turn back one page, actually you only turn one page, but you're now going to look at the page that starts with a 7 on top. Take a look at the middle of the page. This is Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Yud Aleph, number 11. What does it say? The people are already dying. And Aaron is now going to come and he's going to stop the Magefa. Vayomer Moshe l'Aharon, kachas amachta, take the shovel, v'sen olah ha'esh, me'al mizbeach, take some fire, some coals from the mizbeach, V'sim kitaris, because the kitaris will have this healing effect. V'holich mehera el ha'idah v'chaper lechem dipsul, atone for the people. Why? Ki yatsa ha'ketzef milifnei Hashem hechel hanagef. Because the wrath has come, has begun to strike the people, and the plague has begun. Why? Because the people have drawn too close. Now, what do you mean they've drawn too close? Why is there ketzef? Why is there wrath? What have these 14,700 people done wrong? These are people who began to register a complaint as the way we explained it, because of maybe of their frustration, because of their emotional pain, because of the fact that they're so devastated that so many people have 250 people. Korach, is this the way you're going to treat us? Because after all, you don't see from any of the language that they use, they say, we're all dying. We're all dying. You've atem amitem esam Hashem. The people are, you Moshe and Aaron, you've killed the people. What does it mean you've killed the people? I don't have an issue. I know Korach was wrong. But does it have to be this way? So because of that, now they're going to be killed by the plague? Why do we mention Ketzef? Why is God's wrath coming forth? So this is the answer. The way Hashem treats people in the precincts of the Mikdash is different than the way He treats people outside the Mikdash. It's not merely the coming close when we shouldn't, but it's the way we act is the expectation of people when they draw close to the Mikdash. Perfect example. When Nadav and Avihu bring an Esh Zara, we're not really sure what they did wrong. But you come too close to the Mikdash, so Hashem strikes you down. Merely because you're in the precincts of the sanctuary. Behavior that's tolerated outside the Mikdash is not tolerated in the precincts of the Mikdash. Think about the response of Aharon and the remaining sons after Nadav and Abihu died. So what did the Torah say? So the Torah says there's no mourning. You will not allow your hair to grow long. You will not allow... You're going to continue bringing the karbanos. You will not act as a mourner. So why is he not going to act as a mourner? Very simple. Because in the area of the Mikdash, we have to suppress our emotions. Because we're in the presence of the Ribono Shel Olam, certain emotions of people that's normal for human beings are things that have to be inhibited. Because we're in the presence of the Shekhinah. So that's true when it comes to the emotional pain of an Avel, of an Onen. That's true when it comes to certain acts, certain sentiments of jealousy that we may have, or certain sentiments of anger that we may have. And that's why the Ketzef exists in that Makom. Because the people identified with Korach, they may not have rebelled with Korach. They may have been just curious because maybe he's the underdog. You want to see what happens. You know, the Midbar is a little bit boring. You want to come to the game and see what's going on. So I'm curious, see what's happening. See what happens. So they don't question Moshe's authority. But if they identify with Korach, so you know what that means? It means that now they believe Kol Haida Kulam Kidoshim Ubisocham Hashem. The barriers have collapsed. The barriers have been abolished. Hashem says, you want it that way? You want to be Kulam Kidoshim? Then your Machane Yisrael has now been transformed into Machane Shekhinah. You're right, we're all holy. Wherever you stand, you're now in the Mishkan. And therefore, the anger that they exhibited, the frustration they exhibited, the emotional response to what was happening to Moshe I can no longer tolerate. And that's why Hashem responds the way he does. That's the ketzef. The fact that I identify with Korach is enough to now have all of the barriers collapse. And that's what we see in the Psukim. When the people, if you look, when the people say as follows, if you look at the last page, the second to last page, just turn it over, there's a 15 over there. There's a 15 there. So after, on the top of the page, 14,700 people die, so what lesson have they learned? What do I realize? I realize that there is reason for kahuna. There is reason why there are Levim and there are Kohanim and we're in Machane Yisrael. I see that it's not so simple to live the life of a Kohen. I understand why certain people are chosen to be Kadosh and others are not. And I see the result because look what happens. I can't even act as a regular person. You know, the Gemara says that one of the attributes of a Malach is the fact that there's Ein Lo Tacharut. There's no competition. Which explains a phrase we have in davening all the time. We say, "V'nosim rishus zelazel lahakdish liyotzor manachasruach." Imagine have an opportunity to who is going to be the one who's going to sing to the Ribono Shel Olam? I'm going first. What do you mean? I'm not letting you go first, right? I want to sing first. So, because there's no competition, "V'nosim rishus zelazel," you know, you go first, right? Like, if you want to be makdish liyotzor our Creator, so you go. "V'nosim rishus zelazel." That's what that means. Because there's no jealousy. There's no competition. You don't have that emotional response that human beings have. That's what's expected in the Mikdash. Almost like Malach. And they only get that lesson after 14,700 people die, after they didn't do anything. Except get upset. Except respond in an emotional type of way. So therefore, what happens? Pasuk 15, Vayoshev, Aaron el Moshev el Pesach el Moed v'hamagefona etzara. Good, so now the plague stops. Thankfully, it's only 14,700. Vayomru b'nei Yisrael Moshe, hein gavanu avadnu kulanu avadnu. So once again, this is not a complaint in the sense that I'm questioning Moshe's authority at this point. You know what I realize now? This is not even the complaint that we had earlier. Ham tamnu ligvoa. That was our emotional response. That was our frustration. And now we realize what happens when we act that way. So that's intolerable. In a place where the entire Machane Yisrael and Machane Leviyah, Machane Shechina are all one place. And therefore, what do they realize? Kol ha-karev, ha-karev, El Mishkan Hashem Yomus Ha'im Tamnu Ligvah. They realize that those who didn't come close. What they realize is those who come close to the Mishkan Yomus Ha'im Tamnu. Have we finished dying just yet? In other words, they understand very well that coming close to the Mishkan is something that I have to be, that there's a Mishmeres. The Levim are there to stand guard, and there's reason why only a select few are given the opportunity to do so. And then in the next pasuk we understand very well, Vayomer Hashem el Aharon, Ata uvanecho veisavich itach, tisu savor hamekdash. Now I understand very well the fact that I mentioned the concept of the priesthood and what it's all about and the separation that's necessary. And therefore, we return to our machlokas between the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban. So although it's true, the phrase Eretz Avas Chalav Udvash, and the fact that the complaint about the Bechorim could be something that took place already earlier, but the language of Ketzef, of the Mishkan, of the Kahuna, of Mishkan Hashem, of the Mishneris, and the lesson that was learned, seems to fit very well according to the Ibn Ezra. That this is before the story of the Meravim. This is in response to the encampment of the people. And I wonder why it is that we have to be a Machane Yisrael. What do we need that for? And there we stand identifying with Korach's complaint about Kol Elokulo Kodom Kadoshim. I didn't say anything. I see what happens to him. And then 250 people bring the Torahs, and I'm very distraught about that. Oh God, what are you doing? Is that the way, God? Is that the way? And then, when I complain like that, so now 14,700 people are killed. What's that about? Because you want it? You wanted to be in Machaneh Shechina? You got it. Now see what it means. It means that kind of emotion, that I don't tolerate. Jealousy and anger and that type of emotion has to be inhibited in this place. Higher expectations of how we acted from the Ribbono Shel Olam. In Machaneh Yisrael, you can be a regular human being. But in this area, you have to act a certain way. And now you'll understand why there's the Mishmeres, there's a Machaneh Yisrael, a Machaneh Levi, a Machaneh Shechina. And that's really the Ibn Ezra. That's his lesson that we see over here. So, Bikitzur, you know, the Pasuk says in Kohelet, Shmor Raglecha, Kasher Telech El Beis HaElokim. You have to guard your legs when you're walking to the Beis HaElokim. You walk into a Beis HaElokim, if we really understand what it means, there's a certain way we act. And it's hard to know. You walk into the Mishkan, well, I've seen these Kalim before. I walk into a shul, okay, you know, there's Svarimir and tables and chairs, you know, I could put the tables and chairs outside and they look the same. I could roll this outside, you know, and it looked the same. We walk into, it's that we have to sense, that we walk into a mikdash, we walk into a mishkan, I'm in a different place. And the expectations are very different. The same conversation that I was able to have that was perfectly permissible, five feet away, outside the door, I can't have here. And I'm going to be taken to task for it. Because of the divrei chol, the secular words that I'm speaking in a mishkan, in a mikdash. That's the lesson. And that's, if you want it, you can have it all the time. We don't want it all the time. In fact, we often can't even tolerate it for the few couple hours, a couple of minutes that we have them actually in the mikdash. Imagine wherever we are in our homes, wherever we walk in the street, we have those halachas. The halacha and hilchos Shabbos, let's just end with this. There's a Tosfos Masechet Shabbos which quotes a medrash from Vayikra. The Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai had an elderly mother or grandmother, it's not clear, and he heard her talking a lot on Shabbos. She kept talking and babbling, and he said to her, "No, it's Shabbos, Grandma, Mom, it's Shabbos." What do you mean it's Shabbos? So there's an opinion of Tosfos, according to, we don't accept this opinion, thankfully, that on Shabbos, V'daber Davar, the word Sharina Navi, means that I don't speak on Shabbos like I speak during the week. Which means I speak Divrei Torah, speak words of Tefillah, and that's it. Nothing else. So at least we don't hold that way. But at the very least, I walk into a Mishkan, I walk into a Mikdash, I walk into a Shul, the rules are different. That's the message we have from here. I wish you all a good night and a good Shabbos. Yeah.